Before we hear from Dan, I'm going to read Psalm 23, which can be found on page 555 in the church Bibles. I'll then pray for Dan quickly before we sing through the words of Psalm 23, and then Dan will come up and preach for us. So Psalm 23, that can be found on page 555 in the church Bibles, starting at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
My name's Daniel. For those of you who don't know me, I'd love to add my welcome to that Will just gave us. So we've had God's word read for us. We've just sung God's word. So let's pray to God now as we begin. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Father God, our shepherd, help us now as we come to your word. Father, would we have ears willing to listen, hearts willing to change, and eyes that are lifted towards the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, coming up on the screen is a picture of some sheep here. But next, there's going to be a picture, hopefully, of... Oh, no, it's going... Any second now. Here it is. Here's a picture of my niece. My niece was at a Cape Fair this week. My niece is the one on the right, by the way. And she's with, of course, Theresa May, who's our Prime Minister. She's the local MP for Maidenhead, the town I grew up in. And I was chatting to my brother about this incident where he happened to bump into our Prime Minister on the campaign trail. And he said she's just looking very tired and very busy and very worn out. That's our Prime Minister, not my niece. She's always tired and busy. But I'm not surprised. If you aren't aware, then we have a general election coming up in 11 days' time. And of course, it's been a very intense battle so far. It's been one of the most sloganated campaigns that we've ever had, hasn't it? It's been all about the slogans. We've had strong and stable leadership from the Conservatives. Labour have been campaigning for the many and not the few. The Lib Dems have been campaigning for a brighter future. But my personal favourite slogan has been Dia Gelw, Daifodol, Cymru. I don't know what it means, but that's Plaid Cymru. I'm sure it's great. Other political parties are available, by the way. But what's the purpose of these slogans and catchphrases? Well, I think they're to reassure people, aren't they? They're to reassure people that the politicians that you vote for can be trusted. During these difficult times that we face as a country, or if you're worried about your job, house, or money, or whatever it may be, then you can be comforted. You can have the comfort of knowing that the right party are in place to fight for you if you vote for them. Well, where can true comfort be found? Because we know that lasting comfort can't be found in politicians. They might help us a bit in life, sure, but they can't provide us with ultimate comfort. Because what is comfort? Comfort is a freedom from distress, fear, or anxiety. It's contentment and safety. It's peace. Comfort is so much more than coming home and just putting our feet up. Or the comfort of a night in front of the TV with some ice cream. We know that these small comforts can't provide us with the ultimate comfort that we're looking for in life. I wonder, where do you find your comfort? Where do you find your short-term, day-to-day comfort? Think about it for a second. When you've had a when you've had a bad day, a horrendous day, where do you go for comfort? Maybe it's the fridge. Maybe straight to the sofa. Maybe social media or a phone call to your comforter. But what about when you're having a hard time in life? Where do you go for comfort when work has been horrendous for months and you just dread getting up every day? Where do you go when the darkness seems to be overwhelming your soul with sadness and sorrow? Where do you look for comfort after the death of a loved one? Where do you look for comfort when you hear that there has been yet another horrific terrorist attack? Where are you looking? What are your hopes for in the future for where comfort can ultimately be found? Well, do keep your Bibles open on Psalm 23, because this is a psalm that is going to tell us. It's going to tell us where true comfort can be found, true rest, true contentment, true safety. Well, the Lord is my shepherd. They're familiar words, aren't they? If John 3:16 is the best known verse in the Bible, then Psalm 23 surely takes the title of most well-known chapter. It's one of those parts of the Bible that's so ingrained into our culture and our history as a nation. If we went out onto the streets of Beeston and just asked people if they knew the words, the Lord is my shepherd, then I'd imagine that the majority would have. And my sample size for this has been at work. I've told a few colleagues that I was going to be preaching on Psalm 23 at church. And one of them said to me, oh, what's that all about? I said, oh, have you heard the words before? The Lord is my shepherd. And she said, oh, yeah, that comes from the Vicar of Dibley, doesn't it? But it's easy to see why these words are so well-known and so popular. It has such beautiful poetic language and phrases, particularly in the old King James version of the Bible. Phrases like, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He prepares a table for me. Surely his goodness and love will follow me all of my days. It's nice words, isn't it? It's just nice. But it's also one of those parts of the Bible that is acceptable to have it perhaps more culturally Christian settings, like weddings or funerals. This is sadly something I've experienced myself recently. 18 months ago, we sang this psalm at my grandfather's funeral. And 6 months ago, I read this psalm at my grand's funeral. This psalm has also carried me through difficult late teenage years. Years when it would have been easier to turn away from Christ at school. The words of this psalm comforted me. I'm sure many of us can tell of the comfort that this psalm has brought them in hard times. But actually, I think that the great fame of this psalm can actually be quite unhelpful for us sometimes. Because it's interesting that this psalm is never once quoted in the New Testament, despite it being a favourite. I got the old church sermon archives from Mike Webster recently, and have access to hundreds of sermons at Beeston dating back 20, 25 years. So I found it interesting that this favourite psalm has never been preached on a Sunday in that time, as far as I could see. And I've slowly come to see why. You see, there's so much tradition and sentimentality wrapped up in this psalm. But actually, this psalm has far more richness and depth than we perhaps first give it credit for. That's what I found whilst looking at it for the past few weeks. But I think it's important to remember that this psalm is a real psalm. It's a song written at a time in history. And it's written, as we're helpfully told in the heading, which is part of the original writing, it's written by a man called David. Now, David himself was a shepherd, a humble shepherd boy who was chosen to become king. It was a rags-to-riches story. And he lived in about 1000 BC and ruled the nation of Israel. So this psalm has a real author, and perhaps more importantly, this psalm has a real subject. Because who is David talking about here? Well, he is talking about the Lord. He's talking about Yahweh. That's what the capitalized word for Lord means in the Bible. It means Yahweh, the name of God, the one true God of the Bible, who revealed himself to Moses with a special name. He said, I am who I am. And so we think that this psalm is primarily for us now in our experience, and that it is our psalm. And although it does apply to us, as we're going to see, actually, it's first a psalm of David, as it says. And it was a psalm first uttered by him 3,000 years ago. But the error often made in secular use of the psalm is that people say, well, anyone can sing it, whether they know the Lord or not. It's a psalm for anyone in any situation. And the Lord that it talks about, well, that could be any Lord, couldn't it? It could be Vishnu or Allah. It could be secularism, or maybe even myself as Lord. But no, the author is David and the subject is the Lord, the one true God who created the universe and his control of everything in it. The one true God who reveals himself in the pages of the Bible that we have in front of us. Well, what does David say of God, the Lord of Yahweh? Well, firstly, he says, my shepherd comforts me. My shepherd comforts me. The Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd is an intimate title to use of God. Elsewhere throughout the Psalms, God is described as a rock, a refuge, a fortress, even a king, all important titles that tell us something about God, but all quite impersonal. To be a shepherd is to be close to your flock of sheep and to care for them day and night. The kings of Israel themselves were described as shepherds. In Ezekiel 34, there's a great rebuke and prophecy against the kings, the shepherds of Israel, for they did not care for the flock as they should have done, but cared only for themselves. So David, the great shepherd king of Israel, is saying here, look, you may look to me as your shepherd, but there is a greater shepherd, a shepherd behind even the throne of Israel. This shepherd led his people out of slavery in Egypt and through the wilderness. Psalm 78 tells us that God brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness. This shepherd is a protector, a provider, a warrior. He's the source of all things in the universe. And yet he would choose to take interest in a flock of sheep, his people. It's interesting here that David, this great king of Israel, describes himself not as the shepherd, but as the sheep. David, whose very title was a shepherd of God's people here, is a sheep. And so if we want to resonate with this psalm, if we want to make this beautiful psalm about us, well, we need to recognize that we are like sheep. It's not a particularly flattering description, is it? Some of us in this room may be doctors or teachers or great academics, and we might not like being compared to sheep. In fact, we might find it a little bit offensive, if we're honest. But that is the animal that the Bible uses most to describe what we as humans are like. I read a story recently on the BBC about a group of shepherds in Turkey who one afternoon decided to leave their sheep to their own devices. One sheep from their flock headed towards a cliff edge and jumped off. And 1,500 then followed. The only reason that 1,100 of them survived was because their fall was cushioned by the first 400. Sheep are very foolish animals. Now, being an urban town boy my whole life, I don't know the first thing about sheep or being a shepherd, if I'm honest. But I spoke to a friend who has some shepherding experience, shall we say, and he said that sheep are, and I quote, generally annoying animals to look after. That's it. Sounds like I haven't missed out on anything. But he also said something interesting. He said that sheep are always wanting to try to jump into the field next to them. And once one of them finds a gap in the fence or hedge, the rest of them will be in no time. Sheep are constantly wandering off and often wandering off into danger. And that's what the Bible says that we are all like. We have all wandered from God. We have all strayed from him. The prophet Isaiah says we all like sheep have gone astray. We should be finding our comfort and our security and our life in the only true shepherd, God. But each of us, whether we know it or not, have wandered from him. We make ourselves shepherds of our own lives rather than God, and it's dangerous for us. Because when we leave the safety of our shepherd, it sets us on a path to destruction and death. Left to our own devices, we are all heading off that cliff. Not simply to physical death, like the sheep, but spiritual death in hell. And so we need a shepherd. We need a shepherd to come and find us, to bring us back home, to leave his 99 sheep and to come and find his lost sheep. Friends, do you know a shepherd like this? Do you know a shepherd who would come to seek and save the lost? It's interesting, isn't it, that David says here, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is the shepherd. He doesn't even say the Lord is our shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. I wonder, are they words that we can say along with David? Because he can be known. Despite the fact that we have wandered as sheep, he has come to find us. You know, we often talk about mankind searching for God, don't we? As though he's hiding from us. And maybe every now and then God pops up to give us a clue as to where he might be. But God is not the one hiding. He is the one looking. In the Bible, there's no parable of a lost shepherd with all the little sheep running around trying to find him. No, we are the lost sheep. And the shepherd comes to seek and save those who are lost. How does he do that? Well, the shepherd has come to make himself known. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Jesus is our good shepherd, the good shepherd who came to seek and save the lost. There is comfort in knowing this good shepherd. There is comfort in saying, the Lord is my shepherd, for I am his, and he is mine. He knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. Well, we're told in the next few words what the immediate implication is of knowing the Lord as your shepherd. So second half of verse 1, three words. I lack nothing. That's what David considered to be the inevitable conclusion of knowing the Lord. I lack nothing. It might be quite hard to say those words for some of us. We might have walked into the room this evening, all too aware of the things that we're lacking in life. Lacking loved ones who have died. Lacking a relationship that we're longing for. Lacking love in our marriage. Lacking obedient, godly children. Lacking maybe the faith of others. Or maybe lacking the joy in our salvation that we used to have. I lack nothing. Seriously? Some of us could probably write a list of all the things we think we're lacking. These are the three words of the psalm that have hit me hardest, if I'm honest. I imagine I'm not the only one in this room who sometimes struggle with self-pity at all the things that I think that God is keeping from me. But friends, if we are in the arms of our shepherd, then there is nothing else that we ultimately need for our comfort in life. We can learn the secret of being content in every situation. One of the greatest encouragements for me in the past year was having a conversation around Christmas time, with a slightly older Christian lady who I know, who is single. And she humbly explained to me how many years ago, she had to end a relationship with someone who was, by all accounts, I guess, the love of her life. But she stopped seeing this person because she knew it was wrong. People had lovingly told her so, and she slowly came to realize that she needed Jesus more than she needed this relationship. So she ended it. And you know what? A love of Christ just shone out of this woman as she told me this story. Because despite what the world may tell her about singleness at her age being awful and maybe even embarrassing, she has Jesus. She has the Lord as her shepherd. And she lacks nothing. Friends, don't ever believe the lie that Jesus is not sufficient. If I have Jesus, if I have the Lord, I do not need any other to make me whole and complete. Because we were made for him, and our souls are restless until they find their rest in him. My comfort is found in him alone. So my shepherd comforts me, firstly. And the second part of our statement, my shepherd comforts me through good times and bad. Through good times and bad. Well, if having the Lord as our shepherd is our comfort, what does that look like? Well, that is what David fleshes out more in these next few verses. David keeps the sheep metaphor going strong here. And as with every metaphor, there's two levels. There's the level of the sheep and the shepherd on one level, And on the other level, there's what that means for David in his relationship with Yahweh the Lord. So look down with me at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Well, the sheep here is led to overflowing fields, made to lie down and rest in abundant provision. And he's also led to the quiet, still waters. Both are extremely rare places in Israel. This isn't the Cotswolds that we're talking about. This is Israel. It's a hot desert society. So the shepherd leads his sheep to a rare place of food and drink, and his soul is refreshed. And the sheep is guided in the right direction by the shepherd to find water, security, blessing, and comfort. Now, if you know this psalm well, which many of us may do, then I guess it might have occurred to you as we've been going through that this translation is a bit different in some places to traditional translations. A few of the phrases have been changed in this NIV version to make the translation from the Hebrew consistent with the metaphor of the sheep. So on the metaphor level, the sheep are led along the right paths by their shepherds so they do not wander off into danger. And on the human level, David is led along the right paths, the paths of righteousness, the paths of living for God and not for himself. On the sheep level, the shepherd leads to abundant provision of pasture and water. The sheep is fed and looked after. And on our level, there is great and abundant blessing in being led by the shepherd. You know, this isn't a sort of health and wealth and prosperity gospel that David is proclaiming here. We must be on our guard against teaching that says that being a Christian gives you everything that you could possibly want that this world can offer. We don't come to Christ to be guaranteed wealth or health or a car or a house or even a husband or wife. And we also mustn't see this as some sort of Christian comfort blanket. There's a kind of Christian comfort that we're all tempted to fall back into, isn't there? That sits back, not working hard at holiness or evangelism and making no sacrifices for Christ. That isn't what David is talking about here. But he is talking about the real blessings of knowing God in this life, of which there are many, many, many in this life. We have a new status, a new family. We're known by God. We have a new life. We have brothers and sisters in Christ, in a family here and throughout the world. We can live for things that satisfy in life. We can enjoy things and people rather than having them as our shepherd, but chiefly and primarily, we have the blessing of knowing this shepherd, the Lord, being led by him and knowing him, being able to say of the Lord, he is my shepherd. There is no greater privilege. But you know, this psalm is as realistic as it is beautiful. Because it doesn't just describe a life of happy families and blessings coming out of our ears. The comfort that David finds in his shepherd is through good times and even through bad. So read down with me from verse 3. Second part. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, it's remarkable, isn't it, that the right paths that the sheep has led down leads to this darkest valley. These valleys were well known in Israel. They were deep ravines. The sunlight wouldn't be able to hit the bottom of the valley. So at the bottom, there was an eerie shadow. In these deep valleys, there was danger on all sides. Ravenous wolves and prey could devour you. Thieves and robbers were known to operate in these valleys under the cover of shadow and darkness. In fact, these valleys that Jesus talked about were the valleys that Jesus talked about robbers attacking the man on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho in the parable of the Good Samaritan. So being in the valley, in the deep ravines, represented danger. But despite all this danger, the sheep is not afraid. I will fear no evil. And it's a fantastic sight, isn't it? The sheep's legs aren't sort of cowering like Shaun the sheep. The sheep isn't nervously looking around him or jumping at the sound of a slight movement or howling in the distance. No, we have a sheep with his eyes fixed on the shepherd. The sight of the shepherd's rod and staff was the greatest comfort to dispel fear and evil, a rod to beat away enemies and attackers, and a staff to guide the right way and get sheep back in the right direction. So that's the metaphor. But what about on David's level? David is a sheep following the Lord as his shepherd. Well, David faced many dangers in his life, and he had much he could have been fearful of. The first, major story that we learn of him in 1 Samuel is that he faced a fella called Goliath. And I don't need to tell you that he might have been a bit of a scary bloke to face. A lot of his adult life was spent facing King Saul, trying to kill him. And then when he was king, he faced the Philistines, the Moabites, and the Ammonites. And that's just for starters. David had an abundance of enemies and reasons to fear, but he didn't fear. For the Lord, his shepherd, was with him. And that was his comfort. The footnote at the bottom says that this verse, this phrase can be translated, the valley of the shadow of death. Because that's what it would have been. The darkest of valleys for David, and indeed for us, is death. It's a threat that he faced numerous times, and yet even walking to death, he was confident. And did you notice the language that he uses here? The language turns at this point of the psalm. Look down at me, because this is really interesting here. So in verse 1, he's addressing the Lord in the third person. He's talking about the shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He refreshes. He guides. But then David turns from talking about the Lord to talking to the Lord. So from halfway through verse 4, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And the rest of the psalm is addressed in the second person. And it's almost like he can't help talking about the Lord without talking to him. But I don't think it's a coincidence that the language turns during the darkest valley. David reminds himself, indeed he reminds us, that even when going through danger, even when going through death, our shepherd is there with us. A while back I was chatting to John Goodwin, one of our ministers here, if you don't know him, about how he became a Christian. And I was fascinated by his story. He said that he was an 18-year-old who had grown up here at church and knew about Jesus and knew the importance of trusting in him, but he himself didn't. He even almost knew it was true, but he just didn't believe it for himself. But no one would have known. Everyone thought he did. Everyone thought he was a Christian. And so the youth group at the time were off on a long weekend away to Northern Ireland, and it was the first time John had been on a plane. And he was thinking at the time, if this plane crashes, then I'm going to die without being a Christian, and I'm going to go to hell. And he told me that he was petrified, absolutely terrified of death. Now, thankfully, the plane didn't crash, and it was on that trip that he heard the gospel preached again, and John gave his life to Christ. And on the flight home, he knew that if that plane had crashed, then he would now be going to be with God in heaven. A complete turnaround of his life and his perspective on death. Can we face death with that kind of confidence? Knowing that our shepherd will guide us safely through it. Some of us may be going through a darkest of dark valleys at the moment, battling with the darkness of depression and mental health, maybe struggling with the real darkness that comes from loneliness, or struggling with the loss of a loved one, someone close, maybe even the darkness of knowing that death is close at hand for us. Oh, friends, I pray that we might know the comfort that our shepherd brings. There's no magic formula that makes the darkness go away. At times, the right paths in life have to lead through the dark valleys. But in the midst of them, Christian, you can know that your shepherd is present, that he is leading you, that he will not forsake you or leave you. And that is a promise that he will keep for certain. How can we know? Well, because our good shepherd has been to that darkest valley first himself. Our good shepherd has wandered down the valley of the shadow of death head on. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. His death on that cross was to bring back wandering sheep like us to the shepherd. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Christ, our Passover lamb, went into that valley. And instead of saying to the Lord, his shepherd, you are with me, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He went through that darkest valley alone so that we can face it, saying, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In the midst of our darkness, even in the midst of death, we can see by faith that rod and that staff that is comforting us and guiding us, because our good shepherd became a slaughtered lamb. And friends, if any of us here this evening are not trusting in Jesus as our shepherd, if you are not led by him in life, if your shepherd is anyone or anything except for him, then this psalm will be of no comfort to you at the moment. Because then you will face that darkest valley of death alone. And Jesus will not be with you. And there is nothing more frightening or fearful that we could ever face. Because we will not come out of the valley with eternal life, but eternal darkness. Please, don't go into the valley of death without being led by the shepherd. By the only shepherd who can lead you out of the other side of the valley safely. By the only shepherd who has been to the valley himself and has come out alive to tell us about it. By the only shepherd who says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. So my shepherd comforts me in good times and even in bad. And the final part of our sentence, just to finish. My shepherd comforts me in good times and bad forever. Forever. Well, look down with me at verse 5, at the final part of this psalm. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, here the imagery turns, doesn't it? Now the shepherd becomes a host and the sheep becomes a guest. There's still an element of shepherd to sheep imagery that continues, but there's definitely a turn. I, for one, have found it quite amusing to imagine a sheep being seated at a table with like a serviette and trying to pick up a cup with hooves. It'd be a tad difficult, I imagine. So there is a turn, and David becomes a guest at the table of the Lord. And there is safety and security at this banquet, even though his enemies are there. He is protected from them because he is an esteemed guest. He has been anointed with oil, a sign of the utmost honor and respect. And his cup is overflowing. This is the most abundant and lavish of ceremonies. And it's a blessing and hospitality that will last forever. David is confident that he has guest not just for the evening. It's not just a dinner party, but he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, for the rest of his life and beyond. And it's a picture, isn't it, of the most extravagant, lavish blessings and place of honor that David has. A table in the house of his shepherd and king forever. Forever. And friends, this is our great comfort. Through life's ups and downs, through the good and the bad, through all the trials and tribulations that we have and which will inevitably come, we have the comfort of knowing that we have a place at the table of our King and our Shepherd, that we too can dwell in his house. At the moment, this is by faith, but one day feasting at his table in glory, and we will be thanking him for the journey that he brought us sheep on, along the right paths, through the dark valleys, through good times and bad, following our good shepherd. Well, whoever wins the election in a few weeks' time, are we going to have a strong and stable political leadership? Who knows? but a strong and stable leadership that we can find true comfort in is the leadership of our good shepherd. A good shepherd in Jesus Christ who has come to seek and save the lost. Do you feel like you've wandered as a sheep far from God? We'll come back to him. Turn around from your sheepish wanderings and come back to his table. Come back to his house. Look for his rod and staff. And you can be confident that his goodness and love will follow you all of your days, both in this life and into our eternal comfort and rest. We can have confidence. Why? Because my shepherd comforts me in good times and bad forever. Let's pray. Father God, our shepherd, my shepherd, thank you for the abundant blessings that there is in knowing you as our shepherd. Father, thank you that we lack nothing if we are with you. Father, thank you for the blessings that there is. Thank you for the comfort that there is, even in good times and in bad. Thank you that we can look for your rod and your staff and they can be our comfort. Thank you that you have prepared a table for us, a place with us in eternity, and we will be there for the rest of our lives and into your eternal comfort and rest. Father, thank you for Christ, our good shepherd, who has laid down his life for his sheep to bring us back to you, our shepherd. Amen.